Well, while it's loading, I'll reintroduce myself. So like Kylie said, my name is Melissa Fair. I'm a first-year doctoral student from the University of South Carolina, and I'm the evaluation coordinator for LiveWell Greenville. And so today we're going to be talking about the association between fitness gram pacer lats and academic achievement among third through fifth grade youth. So I have no disclosures at this time. So why are we concerned about youth physical activity? We all know that physical activity has a long history of being linked to numerous physical health benefits, reduced morbidity and mortality, reduced chronic disease. But we also know that regular physical activity impacts our cognition and our mental health as well. We see that participation in regular physical activity affects the physiology of our brain. It increases our blood and oxygen supply. It encourages nerve cell growth. We see that it affects the tissue volume in particularly important areas of cognition, like our hippocampus. And childhood is a particularly sensitive period where we know that children experience a lot of rapid growth in terms of brain size, as well as they acquire a lot of new cognitive skills during this time. So we're really concerned with supporting not only healthy physical growth, but healthy brain growth as well. Research has shown us that physically fit children potentially have improved cognition through some of these brain physiology mechanisms that I previously described, and this potentially also leads to greater academic achievement in things like grades, standardized testing scores, just classroom achievement. But we also know that children are engaging in less physical activity than ever. And schools represent a really ideal setting for this to occur because kids spend a lot of their waking hours in schools. So we would hope that we are seeing an increase in physical activity policy in school, but we're actually kind of seeing the opposite, or maybe starting to see some slow growth in terms of physical activity policy. And that's because schools have a lot of pressure on them. They have a lot of pressure to meet state standards, to meet national standards, for kids to have certain scores, and for scores to increase every year. So we know that the trade-off there is that schools have been substituting substituting physical education and physical activity time with classroom time. But the interesting thing that we know there is that the substitution of classroom time is not really impacting kids' standardized testing scores definitively. So why are we doing it? And right now we know that according to Healthy People 2020, only about 3.8% of public and private elementary schools have daily physical education policies. So we do know that there's been some good things happening in the physical activity and academic achievement literature. We're seeing a lot of really positive associations. But we're also seeing that there's still some associations in the literature that show us that findings may be null, or we're even seeing a few that we see negative findings. Further, we're seeing that the findings are not consistent by things like gender. We've seen some studies that say maybe the effect's there for male but not females, and another study will come out and tell us the exact opposite. We've also seen inconsistency in terms of does it affect things like math and science, or are we going to see those differences in math and English? And just like gender, the findings are kind of all over the place. You know, one of the challenges is that schools are a hard thing to measure. It's hard to capture that data. There's a lot of red tape sometimes getting into the school system, getting those measures, developing, you know, a sound methodology that meets both the researchers' needs and the school's needs as well. And because of this, we see some methodological complications, and we also see that sometimes it's difficult to get sufficient sample sizes to really see how strong our associations are. So the purpose of this study was to explore the relationship between aerobic fitness and academic achievement in third through fifth grade youth in a large southeastern school district. So our study setting It took place in the 49th largest school district in Greenville County in the United States. So it's Greenville County. It was located in the southeastern United States. We were really lucky in that we were able to get a sample of 13,597 third through fifth grade youth from 51 public schools during the 2013-2014 academic year. Now, this study is kind of nested within a larger study, a longitudinal study for a group I work for called Live Well Greenville that's assessing the school nutrition and BMI environment. So we've been looking at these changes in BMI and academic achievement starting in the 2011 and 2012 school year with the goal of following it over time. Today I'm just presenting some cross-sectional findings for you from 2013 and 2014. So all of this data was given to me as part of a ongoing data sharing agreement with Live Well Greenville. And like Kylie mentioned, that is a policy systems and environment change coalition that is working to impact healthy eating and active living in Greenville County. We do this in a number of settings, and I happen to be the evaluator for schools. So how did we assess aerobic fitness? We used something called the Fitness Gram Pacer Test, which some of you may have remembered, that shuttle run that progresses. It's a beat test. So we see that it's a multi-stage test where children progressively have to run a shuttle back and forth with the speed at which they have to run increasing with each new level. So this is a previously validated and fairly reliable measure to assess maximal aerobic fitness in youth. So the data was collected by trained physical education teachers in the county. The teachers receive training as part of yearly professional development training, so they go through all facets of the Fitness Gram physical fitness test, including the PACER. So we were able to collect academic achievement data using the South Carolina Palmetto Assessment of State Standards, so the PASS. The PASS test scores consist of five subject areas, including reading, writing, math, social studies, and science. So children take each test and receive a unique score, a continuous score ranging from about 300 to 900. All of the tests are multiple choice in nature with the exception of that writing test, and that's going to be a series of short and long answers, and they develop a score out of that. So we also collected youth sociodemographic data using something called Power Schools. And Power Schools is a web information system that school districts use to manage student information, including sociodemographics, attendance. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold. So through this, I was able to track gender, age, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. And we were a little bit limited in our socioeconomic status. We had to use full price lunch and free or reduced price lunch as a proxy measure for the two of those. So it was only able to develop two categories. But I used a multi-level linear model because I wanted to account for the effect of students within schools. So our dependent variable here is youth academic achievement as measured by the South Carolina PASS score subjects area test. So we looked at each of the five subject area tests. Our level one predictors were aerobic fitness and youth demographics. And aerobic fitness was measured as the number of PACER laps completed. Like I said, we had gender, male and female. Race and ethnicity was black, Hispanic, white, and other. And then our socioeconomic status was measured by school lunch status. And so we dichotomized those into free or free and reduced or full pay lunch. And then our level two predictors were the schools. So that was the 51 elementary schools in Greenville County. And like I said, I chose to use a multi-level linear modeling approach to examine the relationship between youth aerobic fitness and academic achievement because it allowed me to account for the nested effects within schools. So we know that children within schools are more likely to be alike than children from other schools, even if they're even if they're similar in socioeconomic status or race and ethnicity. We also chose to sample, stratify our sample by male and female, partially because we saw those inconsistent findings by male and female, and also because we know that male and female students tend to engage in very different amounts of physical activity or participate in physical education in different ways. The multi-level model also allowed me to account for, it controlled for age, race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. And we used SAS 9.4 to conduct all of these analyses. Okay. So since I used a multi-level linear modeling approach, we wanted to justify why we did it. And so we calculated our intra-class correlation. And through that, I saw that about 11.9% of the variability in our model for males was explained by that nested effect in schools. And 10.1% of the variability for females accounted for the variability of that model. And that's a fairly high number. That tells us that we definitely needed to use that approach. So using a multi-level modeling approach improved our model. So our sample demographics. The average age for youth in third through fifth grade is about 10 years of age. We saw that we had a fairly even split amongst males and females, with slightly more males at 51.56%. We also saw a fairly even split between socioeconomic status using that free and reduced lunch or full pay lunch, with slightly less students receiving the free or reduced lunch. Race and ethnicity, we had a predominantly white population at about 64%, followed by black at 20, Hispanic, and then other. And that's fairly representative of the county as a whole if you look at youth demographics in the area. So I want to call your attention to that one line that I have highlighted there. So overall, we saw that as the number of PACER laps completed increased, the score in all five subject area tests also increased significantly after adjusting for age, race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. And for this is for males in particular. We see that for males, the effect was strongest in math and writing, but it was significant across all five areas. Moving on to female youth, we saw the same relationship. As the number of PACER laps increased, the score in all five subject area tests also increased significantly, also adjusting for age, race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. We also see that the effect is strongest here for math and writing, but you might notice that the scores for females seemed a little bit more uniform across the board than males. So overall, this tells us that as children become more aerobically fit, we see that they have greater academic achievement, and specifically as PACER laps increase, standardized testing scores in third through fifth grade youth increase. So the results were significant for both a male and female population. It held in all five subject areas while controlling for age, race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. This model also helped us account for the nested effect of students within schools. So what does this mean for the future? So it means we need to think about incorporating physical activity not just when kids go to PE. There's numerous times throughout the day, there's numerous opportunities, there's strategies where we can incorporate physical activity into school classroom time. You know, the idea of brain breaks, giving children intermittent breaks throughout the day. We know that not only does physical activity impact academic achievement in the long term, we also know that kids who are able to expend energy are able to focus more in the classroom during that time. It makes us think about things like school fundraisers, as we're seeing the advent of things like school fun runs or family physical fitness and activity days. So setting and developing policies at the state, national, local level that support physical activity in all aspects of the classroom. Things like active transportation to and from school, where kids moving and being physically active is not just part of the curricula, but is just part of the lifestyle and part of the environment of schools in general. So this provides valuable evidence to advocate for policies at the state, national, and local levels to increase these daily physical activity opportunities. There are a few things that definitely still need to be discovered in the literature. For example, while I was able to show that we see that physical fitness impacts standardized testing, I wasn't able to assess the dose. So I don't know, is there a threshold or a cutoff at which as kids may engage in a minimum amount of physical activity? We also need to know a little bit more about what types of physical activity. We know that the relationships tend to be strongest for aerobic fitness, but we don't know necessarily at what intensity of physical activity. Exploring relationships, is it free play? Is it more standardized games that happen during physical education classes? And then we also need to look at long-term outcomes. So that is part of the goal of this study, is that we're going to longitudinally follow this data over the course of several years, and we're able to track students individually and hoping that we're able to see the same relationship hold year to year. Okay. And I'm finished.